Welcome to Torah Simcha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Faxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu Perek Samach Aleph, Chapter 61. In this chapter, we continue the prophecy of redemption from the last. Ruach Hashem Elokim Alai, the Spirit of Hashem is upon me. Ya'an Mashach Hashem Osi, because Hashem has anointed me. In the Torah, only kings and high priests are anointed, and therefore this is a metaphor for Yeshayahu's designation for a specific holy purpose. And what is that purpose? Levaser anavim shalachani. He has sent me as a herald to the humble. Lachavosh l'nishbarei lev. To bind the brokenhearted. Likro lishvuyim dror. To proclaim release to the captive. V'la'asurim pekach koach. And release to the imprisoned. Malbim, as a standard in his commentary, explains the seeming repetition in this verse and distinguishes specific words that seem like synonyms. He says that the good tidings are all that is needed for the humble, because they accept their suffering as their due in the will of Hashem. But there are those that the verse refers to as brokenhearted. They have been destroyed from exile, and they have complaints against Hashem. The Navi will address those as well. He will need to release them from the suffering and rehabilitate them in order that they be able to hear the good tidings of the future. And what will be the good tidings that they will both receive? Likro shnas ratzon l'Hashem, to proclaim a year of Hashem's favor, v'yom nakam l'elokeinu, and a day of vindication by our God, l'nachem kol avelim, to comfort all those who mourn. According to most, the words year and day here are figurative. But the use of year for favor, referring to the positive events that occur over the course of the time of redemption, and the word day for vengeance, referring to the tumultuous wars and destruction that occur before the redemption comes to its conclusion, makes it clear that the positive aspects of redemption will far outweigh the negative. Lasum la'avelei tzion, to provide for the mourners in Zion, laseis lahem pe'er tachas efer, to give them glory instead of ashes. Ashes are something customarily worn by a mourner on his forehead. Shemen sason tachas evel, the festive ointment instead of mourning, because, of course, ointment is forbidden to a mourner. Ma'ate sihila tachas ruach keha, clothed in praise instead of a dark spirit. The korah lahem elei hatzedek, they will be called elms of righteousness. Mate Hashem lehispa'er, planted by Hashem for his glory. Everyone will look at the Jewish people as the paradigm of righteousness, even as they are in a position of sovereignty. Like a tree, good deeds and righteousness will sprout forth from them. This is a fulfillment of why Hashem created them. Like we saw in the last chapter, Netzer Mata'ai Ma'aseh Yadai L'Hispa'er, he planted us for his glory, so that we should behave in such a way that people will look at us and say, praised is the God who created these people and commands them to behave in such a fashion. Uvanu charvos olam, and they will build the ancient ruins, shomimos rishonim yukomemu, and raise up the desolations from before, v'chidshu arei chorev, and renew the destroyed cities. They won't look like rebuilt ruins, shomimos dor vador, the desolations of many ages. Malbim explains this verse metaphorically. It is true the ruins of lands of Israel be rebuilt, but the ruins that we will build ourselves will be the values and truths of Torah that have been lost over time. Through teaching and example, these will be renewed in the world, and those false values that have multiplied over the centuries will be fixed. Because the nations of the world will realize that the truth is in Torah and in the Jewish people, then, like we saw in the last chapter, Va'amdu zarim v'ra'u tzonchem, strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, strangers shall be your plowmen and vine trimmers. We saw in the last chapters that other nations who at best ridiculed and ignored us, and at worst, things that we can't even describe, will seize the opportunity to serve this formerly based nation as their chance to participate in the service of Hashem. In the last chapter, this was described as a feature of the redemption and reward for the Jewish people. Here Yeshayahu explains the necessity that this be the case. Va'atem kohanei Hashem tikareu, while you will be called priests of Hashem, misharsei Elokeinu ya'amar lachem, servers of God will be said to you. In the future, we will be called priests and servers of God. What is the significance of this? A priest is exempt of all human effort that is usually required to provide for oneself. This is in order that he be completely available for godly service and the spiritual preparation that it requires. The priests were also the teachers of the nation, which required time and effort and was fitting due to their intense spiritual devotion. This will be our status, the entire nation of Israel's status, in the times of Mashiach. The whole world will be dedicated to service of God, and the Jewish people will be the priests among them, thus exempting us from physical effort and exertion. We will be completely dedicated to godly service and teaching the world about him. And the other nations will take care of our physical needs. Like the verse continues, Chel goyim tochelu, you will eat the wealth of the other nations, uvichodam tisyamaru, and become great in their honor. The honor once afforded to them will now become yours. You will be Hashem's emissaries, and the other nations will gladly provide your material needs. The Navi goes on to describe the reward of the righteous in detail. Tachas bashtecha mishneh, because your shame was double, uchlima yaronu chalkam, and disgrace that they would bemoan as their portion. Lachen ba'artzam mishneh yirashu, therefore they, still referring to us, but now in the third person, will inherit a double portion in their land. Simchas olam tiyelahem, they will have eternal happiness. This is another concept that we saw at the beginning of chapter 40. The comfort brought to the righteous at the end of days will be double. In the Milstein Art School, there is a beautiful explanation as to why. The Talmud explains that every person is created with a portion in the world to come, like we saw at the end of the last chapter. Those who maintain their righteousness will inherit not only their portion, but the portions of the wicked who lost their portions. Why is this true? The Beis Halevi explains that it's logical and that they deserve it. Because the wicked make it that much harder for the righteous, through their influence, for the righteous to maintain their dedication to Hashem. If the righteous people are able to withstand that influence from the wicked, they will inherit the portions of them both. Ki ani Hashem ohev mishpat, for I am Hashem who loves justice. So I will give the righteous their just reward, like in the last verse. So ne gazal ba'ola, I hate robbery in a burnt offering. Still describing Hashem's love of righteousness, the verse explains that using that which is not yours for a mitzvah does not elevate the stolen property as one might think, but instead it disqualifies the mitzvah itself. Someone rationalizing that what they are using something that doesn't belong to them to serve God, to whom it belongs anyway, is wrong, and perhaps even makes it worse than just stealing the property itself. V'nasati pu'lasan be'emes, I will pay their wages faithfully in proportion to their deeds and their challenges, like we saw. Uvris olam echros lahem, and I will make a covenant with them for all time. We will not have another exile like after past redemptions. V'noda b'goyim zaram, their offspring will be known amongst the nations, v'tze'etayim b'socha amim, and their descendants in the midst of peoples. Kol ro'am yakirum, all those who see them will recognize them, ki hem zera beirach Hashem, that they are the seed that Hashem has blessed. This recognition will be because of their deeds. So asim b'Hashem, I will rejoice in Hashem. Tagel nafshi belokai, my soul will exult in Hashem. Ki he'll be shani bigde yesha, for he has dressed me in clothes of salvation. Mi iltzakaya atani, he cloaked me in a robe of righteousness. Like a groom exalted in splendor, like a bride bedecked with her finery. This verse describes the way that all be able to recognize the glory of the people in Israel when they are finally rewarded for their dedication to Hashem. This verse is prototypical of Yeshayahu's poetic language. When read simply, it conveys a straightforward idea with beautiful and flowery language. But if you look deeper and decipher and dissect each word, you see that every word is different and exposes new and deeper meaning. At the beginning of this verse, there are two words for happiness, sason, which means external joy, and gila, which is internal joy. There are also correspondingly two names of Hashem. The four-letter name that we do not pronounce that connotes the attribute of mercy, and the name Elokai, my God, which is a name that connotes justice, and in this case is personal, Elokai, my God. Finally, there are two words for the subject of the happiness, a general I and a more specific my soul. The verse can therefore be read, I will externally rejoice in the God of mercy, and my soul will internally rejoice in my God of judgment. Radak reads this verse as follows. I, the whole me, is the one who rejoices with the God of mercy, because the whole human being, with all of its attributes, appreciates God's mercy and his kindness. But only my soul rejoices in God's justice, because only the elevated aspect of a person appreciates and craves justice. Malvin makes a different distinction. Outer joy is experienced by someone who is connected to Hashem in a communal sense, the God of mercy of the whole nation. Inner joy is experienced by someone connecting to Elokai, his own individual relationship with God, who oversees and provides for him. And the Navi continues in verse 11, Ki ha'aretz totzit simcha, for as the earth brings forth her growth, u'chegana zeru'eha satzmiach, and a garden sprouts forth its seedlings, ken Hashem Elokim yatzmiach tzaka u'sihila neged kol ha'goyim, so will Hashem cause righteousness and praise to sprout before all the nations. This recalls a metaphor given by sages and commentaries in many different places. When a seed is planted, it rots, and someone unfamiliar with the process would assume that it was destroyed. Only after the seed rots, though, can it begin to grow and emerge as a beautiful plant. God planted us in exile. We were left there, and anyone looking from the outside would have seen only rot and destruction and decay. But like the process of a plant, this was in order that we would be able to grow and finally emerge as the great nation that we can be. Thank you for learning together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.